home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. Get through my technical challenges. We're here at Fadley's. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. My dude Andy Ratner and Jenny, they're eating crab cakes here from the Maryland Health Commission. I'm going to be promoting them down here at Fadley's. We're also going to have Matt Gallagher stop by. We're going to eat catfish sandwiches today because I had the shrimp salad last month. I had the fried oysters. And I love Fadley's, and it's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. Electeds are allowed to have them, I think. Felicia Porter's here. She is the councilwoman for the great District 10 in South and Southwest Baltimore City. I'm not in District 10 right now, right? I'm Zach's district here, right?
Yes, we are in my colleague Zach's district. But, you know, I made sure I got a pass before
so
I came over.
So I had Zach on a couple weeks ago, actually, at Mako in August. And I probably had four or five. I had Odette.
Yes.
I had Mark. Trying to think,
I saw you had Corey as well.
I had Corey, I had Brooke Learman.
Yes.
So I ran into you at Coppin. I ran into you around town. I ran into you at Coppin. Hey, Coppin. And I'm trying to get Dr. Jenkins down here to do all that. What's going on? I mean, you got stuff in Cherry Hill. And you saw the Maryland Health Connection people.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, people in your district, there are a lot of challenges, right? And we're talking about the government being shut down here this morning and how that would impact South Baltimore.
Yes.
And you're like, well, it's just government employees and it's just certain agencies or whatever.
No.
Government shuts down.
It's big.
Poop hits the fan, and that's why Trump's doing it.
So exactly.
I ain't getting into the politics of it. I just want to get into the reality of what it means to us.
Yeah. So first and foremost, a government shutdown is going to be disastrous for Baltimore. And so that means that care is not going to be delivered to our young people, our adults, and our elders. And also when we have any type of public assistance, whether it be the public housing, whether it be the SNAP benefits, those are the types
that's
of...
That's federal money.
And so Baltimore is 22.6% of Medicaid recipients. And so that's going to be disastrous for Baltimore.
That's
so,
older people.
So, no. So Medicare is older people. Medicaid is people all throughout from young people, adults, and also older.
What's worrying you the most about... And I don't want to... Like, this government shutdown can end in a minute. It can end in an hour. We can have a civil war by lunchtime today. Well, I mean, those 800 generals should have just walked out of there and walked to Congress and sat in front of Johnny O and everybody else down there and said, today's the day.
Yeah.
Get the Republicans' asses in here. Let's get rid of this guy.
And I know Congressman Infume is fighting for us as well. And I mean, it's so important for us to have federal leadership that are fighting for us because it's the little people like us that need to be at the forefront
of
these conversations.
Well, in a city that voted against him 97.2%, like literally.
Literally, that's correct.
90, that he wants to come in and destroy this. Like he's doing to Portland today, like he's been doing to Washington, like
Memphis,
he's been to Chicago.
Memphis.
Yeah, any place where people look like you or me.
Yes.
I thought I was white for like 50 years. Most people, you see me, you think I'm white, right?
No, but I mean, you know.
I'm Hispanic,
trust
me.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If ICE came over here, they'd be asking me if I was born at church home, which
I was. Oh my gosh.
But like, this isn't even like... We almost laugh about it. That's how numb we're getting to this.
And we're becoming very, like you said, numb to it. But also what I will tell you, we got a few fighters that are in community. And, you know, it was very interesting when he started talking about Baltimore. People were coming out of the woodwork saying, don't talk about my city.
Meanwhile, you know, John Harbaugh's not having tea with him. That doesn't work for
me. Don't talk about our city.
Doesn't work for me.
Yeah, don't talk about our city. And so we are here trying to make a positive influence and impact. Yeah, don't talk about our city.
I get very angry.
Yeah.
The smell of the crab cakes is going to help me a little bit here and try to keep me on point.
Yes.
Felicia Porter's here. What is a councilwoman? What is the city? Let's start with Schoolhouse Rock for people maybe in the county or don't know. Because we have a disruption in Baltimore County right now with Johnny O and with Kathy. And I've had four potential electeds on, three electeds and Nick and different people running. This is a very active time to say this is what's good about our county, our city. This is... representation itself in the city.
Yes.
You know, if David Smith and his son have their way, there'd be like one of you.
Yeah.
One council person for the city, right?
Yeah.
And every time I talk to all of you, you're like, hey, you have no idea how overwhelming it can be.
Yes.
And I almost ran for mayor. I mean, I know all of this stuff. I've been with every Eric Costello and the Zacks after that.
Yes.
And, you know, Odette and her predecessor.
Yes.
And like, so I've seen all this get handed down. But if I walk up to people in here and say, hey, this councilwoman, Felicia Porter, like,
What does
she do? Yes. Is she a politician? She doesn't do anything. Like, I hear that all the time, and I'm amazed. But I was with the Maryland Health Commission people, and they were very complimentary of all the politicians. Yes. But I'm like, the politicians I see, they look me in the eye, and they're pretty serious people.
Very much so. Your local representative is your first line of defense. When we're talking about protecting democracy, we're talking about making sure your trash gets picked up, making sure potholes are filled. But we also legislate as well. And I don't think that people really have a great understanding of what we do. And that can be on our part. Like, we need to communicate what we're doing better. But your local legislator is probably going to be your best friend during these next 4 years.
Yeah. What do people call you the most about in South Baltimore as a councilwoman?
Trash. So they call me about trash, making sure their trash gets picked up, and also making
sure.
That's an everyday thing.
It's like when your toilets don't flush, your shower, your water don't
work,
right?
That's a local issue as well, because that means that our Department of Public Works needs to visit. If your toilets aren't flushing, your faucet is not pulling out water, that's the Department of Public Works. Like, local government touches every part of a person's life.
I look at you, and I like you so much, and I can sit here serious with you or not, but it's sort of like, you have heard in South Baltimore everything.
Everything, yeah. And this is my second term, so I'm hearing it probably 4 or 5 times now.
Well, let's go to the top with anything. You know, I don't go down to city anymore because I'm afraid of getting carjacked, afraid of getting murdered. I watch Fox News and the WBFF, and I read the Sun. You know, there are people that wouldn't drive through Cherry Hill because they've read about it or heard about it or whatever.
Yes.
And you're so proud of all of the things that you can see in the city. And I'll tell you, I drive past places. Yes. I just came down here. I'm looking at Park's Fried Chicken, but I've driven down Park Avenue on the way down here, old Chinatown, where my mom used to take me up to the White Rice Inn.
Yes.
And that area had fallen into some, like, disrepair when I lived in the city. And I drove through, and now it's like businesses and storefronts.
Yes.
And I'm saying, I've driven through every nook and cranny of the city, and I see places that are going like this and places that are going like this.
Yes.
And when I go on the radio and I say to people, Baltimore's getting better.
Yes, it
is. I mean, it was bad during COVID. It was bad during Trump 1. Yes. It was bad after Freddie Gray. I mean, I didn't leave because of that or anything. Yeah. But, like, when I come to the city now, I see more people, more vibrancy.
Yes.
It's cleaner.
Yes.
I feel that. Yeah. I would say that to the mayor. I say that I said it to Zeke a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
I don't know why that is. Yeah. I want to give Brandon and all of you some credit.
Yes, but it's local government.
And people picking up trash.
And also people in the agencies, too. We can't forget the people that are in the agencies that are showing up every single day doing this work.
Agencies. What's an agency?
So our DPW workers. So our people that are picking up the trash, the sanitation workers, our transit equity officers that are going out into the street making sure that we have our signal synchronization, making sure our stoplights are actually moving in a correct manner.
Jim Palmer got all over Brandon about that. All
yes. Right. Yeah, like, those are the aspects of, like, city government that most people don't think about. Often I tell people, you know that government is working when you don't call your local representative.
Right. Okay. Right.
And so government just helps.
If there's no pothole to call about, we're doing good.
Local government is working. And we've seen that. We've seen that, especially in South Baltimore. I can definitely tell a difference with how South Baltimore is being represented, but also how services are being delivered to South Baltimore. For often, people think that South Baltimore is just on an island, but we're now, under my leadership, bringing it back into the city.
So when you came into office, you've been 6 years? How many years you've been?
So I've been in 5 years.
5 years.
Yep.
Okay. So what did you see at that point and say, all right, I mean, you're in a really challenged area.
Yes.
I mean, I see Cherry Hill to people, and I say she's in Southwest Baltimore. These are places that maybe some of you have never visited or haven't been since 1958 or whatever it would be. But you're there every day.
Yes.
And when I think of Cherry Hill, I think of community schools.
Yes,
and
that's correct.
I think of unique things that have been, I won't say incubators because they've worked in other places like Detroit and other places. But this is where a young African-American mayor who grew up in this city comes and gets these ideas. When all these trips that Fox 45 makes fun of him. And I see how hard he's working when I'm out.
They make fun of all of us.
Right. I mean, I see how hard. And then the murder rate goes down, but that's not good enough. We're going to talk about something else that's bad. For you, what were the couple of hot buttons that you could sit here 5 years and say, well, we've done a good job of solving that, fixing this, making this better, but then this fell apart. We got this, and I'm sure you have all of that. So give me a little roster of your work over the last 5 years.
So roster of my work includes, one, at opening the first grocery store in Mount Clair Junction with a 1.5 incentive in a food desert. So that is completely unheard of. South Baltimore didn't have a grocery store until I brought one in. and we also raised capital for them as well. Number two, we got 200 homes coming to District 10. And so 200 homes, meaning that we're going to have more housing options for people. We're going to have affordable housing. 20% of those projects are affordable housing, meaning $250,000 and below. And then last but certainly not least, you know, clean air and water is very important to my people down there. So we're bringing in a $300 million wind facility that's anchoring in Curtis Bay, that it's essentially changing the economy from coal to cleaner options in Curtis Bay.
When's this going to happen? What's the timeline on this?
Yeah, 2026, 2027. And so they are now out there now kind of doing the excavation work, doing the ground laying work.
So we're going to have a windmill in South Baltimore?
Well, no, not a windmill. So a wind facility
is wind facility?
Underground cables. Yes, underground cables.
Oh, man, I got to add. So, so how did you get educated about this?
So I got educated by actually just talking to people. So talking to former mayors, talking to former council people of what they did before, what were some of their pitfalls. But I also talked with people across the nation, other local legislators, to see what they're doing, see how we can, we in Baltimore, can make sure that we're on the pedestal as well.
Well, borrowing good ideas,
yeah,
right?
There you go. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. This is an opportunity for us to lock arms and replicate what's good happening in our cities and make sure that Baltimore is on the map as well.
When we say community center and, you know, I say urban planning. You know, I've had urban planners on over the course of time. And I see the Port Covington project.
Yeah, there, Baltimore Peninsula.
Is that you?
Yes. So a portion of it, Baltimore Peninsula, yes.
I'm never calling.
I know. But I try to, you know, try to...
No. Because you're a lady and I like you, I'm not going to say, but no.
I know.
So part of that, like we see this shiny city down there. That's you. But what is that? What is that going to become?
Because
I remember the vision for that. I had
Mark Weller on.
You know, the whole Plank Sagamore thing going on when they had the rye down there.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a show down there and it was dust, right?
Yeah.
Literally. Construction project. Now I go down there and it's a city, but it was thought to be uninhabited recently.
Yeah.
How are we getting with that?
Oh, no. So I would tell you it's 80% filled. And so 80% of the housing filled.
So I need to drive down.
Yeah.
You should I haven't been down in a year and a half.
Yeah. And I would say drive down. You know, most people, and I see those YouTube videos as well. Thanks so much for highlighting the YouTube videos, because they often show that it's like a desert, but it's really not. We see the booming economy down there. We see the small businesses that are coming into Baltimore Peninsula. We see the housing that's being developed. We see the marketplace that's coming down there, but it's economically anchoring the surrounding communities. That was a part of the deal as well with Mark
Weller.
Well,
the whole idea was to make it a gentrification of a move-outification of people that have been living there and making a life there.
And so the communities are able, through their partnership with South Baltimore 7, the seven communities surrounding the Baltimore Peninsula, they are able to have a say and a partnership with the economic activity that's happening at Baltimore Peninsula,
which is important.
It's important.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't had Brandon on in probably a year. And when I think of Zeke, I think more East Baltimore. I didn't talk to him about that.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about Port Covington in, and I haven't visited it.
Yeah.
So I'm ignorant. I'm blind about it.
No, but come on down. I'll drive you around and I'll show you kind of what, you know, some of the innovation that's happening, but also you can see some of the people and hear some of the thoughts about what's happening down there.
You know, when I saw it getting built, and I think about a lot of things, and I lived at the Inner Harbor for 19 years. I live up in Towson now, and I think, well, I like where I live. Maybe I'll live and die. Maybe I'll, you know, live there forever. I don't know. But I thought, if I move back to the city, where would I move? And my wife and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
We really miss the city.
Yeah.
Like, we miss walking around.
Yes.
Like, when I'm in a city, like New York or someplace, all I do is walk.
Yes.
And I miss that part of being down here. And so if I were to move back, I often think to myself, well, where would I go or whatever? And I've always thought, I probably used the word if. Don't shoot me, Felicia.
I know.
But
we welcome you.
If we fix the city in the way that where I'm going to come back, I would consider that. And I would think that that's got to be the future.
It is.
Because I saw it there. You know, I saw it built.
Yes.
And I thought, well, it's not going to be empty. No matter what anybody says about it, it's going to get occupied. I'm thinking, what's it going to be when it's mature?
There you go.
In the same way that you look at Harbor East.
Harbor East, 5 years ago, yes.
It smelled like cinnamon and rolls, and you would go down there, and it would be
H&S Bakery was the anchor, but we're now seeing in Harbor East that it has been built up, and it's now an economic engine that is partnering in parallel with the harbor.
I've driven three different people just through the circle where the statue is and where all the Atlas stuff is, and they said the same thing. They're like, this feels like New York.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Not the Yankees, but New York in general.
Yeah.
But I think that the murder number that brings so much attention to our city, and then we're saying, okay, we're fixing that. Whatever the long tail of that word getting out, and the foodie community and the tourism, fixing the sports teams, building the harbor.
Yes.
It takes time.
It does take time.
That peninsula was nothing 5 minutes ago.
That's correct. It was an old Walmart there. And then when the Walmart left, it was a big...
That was my Walmart.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Oh, that's when I shopped that. Sure.
Yeah, and it was a big void in the area. And so, again, it's going to take time.
It was the Baltimore Sun, too.
That is true. Yeah, yeah. But the Baltimore Sun, the building is still there. But we are now seeing how it's going to look in like 5 to 7 years. And so I implore people, like, go down to South Baltimore. Take a look at what we're doing down there and see how the neighborhoods are changing.
All right, Felicia Porter's here. Yeah. She is our councilwoman. So you say, what do council people do? I started it. So the legislative part of this is something that I'm ignorant about. And every time I talk to Odette or I talk to it's putting bills forward, seeing a problem and trying to solve it.
Yes.
Is really like, but that's what you went to school for.
That is.
That's
there
who
you
are.
Yeah.
That's why I love having you on, because you're like, all right, so what problems are you seeing right now? I know you don't want to talk about the problems, but that's the best part of my show.
Yeah, no worries.
There's the pothole. Here's where we're going to fix it.
Yeah. So one of the legislative ideas that I'm working on now is the oversaturation of health clinics within Baltimore City. So we are seeing an oversaturation in Black and brown communities, and they're not necessarily providing the quality care of services needed. So what I did as a local legislator, which is under my jurisdiction, I am attempting to change the zoning to remove health clinics from commercial corridors, and that will allow businesses like Fadley's, like, you know, daycares coming in to be on that commercial corridor to really vibrant up the community.
Better explain that, because I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay, so health center means what? Mental, it could be anything,
no,
right?
So really, health clinics can be anything from a substance abuse clinic, so kind of the outpatient treatment facilities.
Sure. Okay.
Or it can be like a dental office, a physician's office.
But this isn't a GBMC medical center. Okay,
there you go.
Gotcha.
And people's behavior and how they are achieving health care is different. And so what's happening is that we're having substance abuse clinics on commercial corridors on the boulevards, and businesses are not wanting to come into community. Exactly.
Sure.
So this would be an opportunity to, one, to change the marketplace of businesses.
Where
like
do they
Fadley's.
Go? Where would so those they, clinics
they'll
go?
So they'll continue to be in community, but they'll maybe partner with a larger institution and be near the institution as opposed to in residential.
How many of these are we talking about in District 10?
So in District 10 alone, we probably have about 30. 30 in District 10.
And that's
10.
Why, like, when you're driving on the main corridor, you'll see. Places where people have problems or health problems or whatever, and it looks like there's loitering in some way.
And that's
right?
not the case. And quite honestly,
they're there to get service.
They're there to get service. But
and it's a hub because they need to be there.
Yes.
For whatever
for whatever reason.
Whatever reason.
But
right,
also, within the state of Maryland, 34% of our health clinics, substance abuse clinics alone, reside in Baltimore City. So that's the third across the state of Maryland. That's a lot. And so when we're talking about revitalizing Baltimore, when we're talking about bringing new businesses in, we have to begin to community plan much better.
Well, I think that's the one thing people don't understand about how you have to meet businesses.
Yes.
And the only thing that's going to make District 10 better is either business in there or people employed in there by
that
businesses
is correct.
District 9, 8.
That is correct.
Like,
is
literally.
Correct.
They get a job at the peninsula they can walk to.
There you go.
Place they go. Transportation, always an issue in the city. I mean, you are such a city council. You already hit potholes.
Yeah.
You hit food desert.
Yeah.
We've hit,
education. We've hit housing, healthcare, and also transit.
All right. So I hear this all the time, and I had the king of transit on, Ryan Dorsey.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So
one of my greatest colleagues.
The bike guy, as he likes to be called.
Yes.
I'd never met him.
Really?
I'd never talked to him.
And
we did an hour on the air, and it was fascinating.
Yeah.
It really was. Because I've heard, he's this mythical figure, this guy I'd never really met. But what an eclectic group
yeah.
you all are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I'm in a room, I mean, I know all of you one at a time.
Yes.
But I don't know any of you
together.
I don't think I've ever been with two of you at the same time.
Yeah.
Even get in the middle of black, white, male, female,
yes.
east, west, north, south.
Yeah.
And one thing that we all have in common, we all, you know.
We all want to see Baltimore win.
Right.
That's all that we are about. We all want to see Baltimore win. And the great thing about the council is that you mentioned it. We all have our various levels of expertise, and we bring it all together to make Baltimore better.
Well, the transportation thing is
yeah.
an issue, I think, for everybody.
That's true.
You know where I learned mm-hmm. so much about that? From the mayor yes. when he was city council president.
Yes.
I had never really met him. This is five, six, when he was talking about running and people were laughing at him.
Yeah.
Like he came at the old Fadley's.
Yes.
When Jack was running the city.
Okay.
So Kathy was locked up, whatever was going on at that point. And he sat with me and I said to him, you know, city, give me your story. And
yeah.
the story about him getting mugged was a part of it. But his biggest story was, I went to school at Mervo and I had
yes.
to take three buses.
That is correct.
And he said, I was in Lexington Market, the old market.
Yes, the old market.
Every day as a kid, as
yes.
an 11, 12-year-old kid, changing buses.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's, you know.
But you know, that happens every day for our young people. It's a very serious issue. And I will tell you, Councilman Dorsey, he's really pushing the mark on how we're doing community planning and transit. But also, I want to just upscore that Councilman Bullock, and the chair of the Education, Youth, and Older Adult, he is bringing, you know, a lot of resources and intellect to the table as well to make sure that we're highlighting those issues. Because if kids can't get to school, then we talk about the trans. We talk
well,
about absent
parents get to work.
But absenteeism. We talk about, you know, lack of kids coming to school. We talk about health problems. Like, all the things are connected, and that's what we're trying to get across. Every transportation is connected to environment. Environment is connected to healthcare. Healthcare is connected to housing. You know, these are things that are connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we call them wraparound, right? That's a word
yes,
we would
yes,
use, right?
Yep, wraparound.
So how in the 5 years, mm-hmm. give my audience who's living maybe a different kind of life
yeah.
than woman with two children, they're young, they're in school, she's trying hard, she's clean, sober, well,
yeah.
like not, we're not, something with a job, the whole deal, trying to get kids to school
yes.
in the morning, have a job, transportation, grocery,
yeah.
like all, this is real life
it's
for
real
you
life.
Every single
every
day.
Every single day, yes,
right?
Every single
and,
day.
And the transportation part
yes.
of that, and then kids from school at the end of the day.
Yes.
Give me a little, I heard so much about community school.
Yes.
That is sort of the root
yes.
that was the grand idea.
That is correct.
To make this better to
yes.
clear up these social ills and
yeah.
create better humans.
Yeah.
Right?
And I will tell you, so it's still a work in progress. You know, the blueprint is still a very important policy initiative at the state level, and it's an important policy initiative at the city level. The problem that we're running into, of course, as we're seeing right now with these federal economy, the funding. The funding is the major issue that we're running into for a lot of our blueprint, initiatives, such as making sure you have
well,
community schools.
I was in Mako. I mean, I know
yeah.
the governor's trying to come up with money.
He's trying
it's
to come up with money.
Times,
and so
yeah.
it is tough times. But what I will tell you is that, one, we're thinking more creatively on how we can make sure that not only kids get to school, but parents get to work, and it makes sure that it makes sense. So that makes sure that we have housing, that they can live near their school, that they can be in a space where they can work near their child's school. They can live all in the same area. And so creating that environment so that they don't have to travel 3 and 4 buses to get to school or work, they can be right in the neighborhood where it is intended to be.
Felicia Porter's our guest. She yeah. is the councilwoman from District 10. I'm not in 10. I'm in Fadley's. We're at Lexington Market. But, you know, you come across it.
We do. We come across lines.
You come across lines from time to time. It's always a pleasure to visit with Felicia. If people on the outside
yeah.
see that murder number,
yeah.
right? And they see that number going down.
Yeah.
And that just had to happen.
Yeah,
right?
It had to.
It had to happen,
had to.
Right? I remember when the mayor and a lot of you
yeah.
and a lot of even Thread
yes.
and you know other organizations talking about young people
yes.
and parents and responsibilities and all of this stuff to get activated to make sure that gun doesn't happen, that doesn't happen, that beef doesn't become...
Community violence intervention. I want to call it what it is. It's community violence intervention. And it's also making sure that our young people and our adults as well, because we can't forget them as well, because these young people grow up into adults. They have the coping skills. They have the skills in order to say, hey, something is bothering me. I need to go indeed talk to someone, or I need to be able to have a heart-to-heart with someone that I may not have been able to sit down with. Like, that's what community violence intervention, when we're talking about the reduction of gun violence, that is what we are talking about. We're talking about intervening at a community level with people that look like you and me to our young people and our adults.
So that concept, and I talked to so many... back when I founded Baltimore Positive with Mueller, we were booking authors and, you know, how did they do it in Detroit?
Yeah.
How do they do it here? You know, what are they doing over there?
Yes.
The broken window theory.
Yes.
You know, all of these concepts of, and then there's just the Fox 45 crowd, which is shoot them all. We can't fix them. They can't be fixed.
We don't adopt that in Baltimore. Damn sure don't adopt that.
Let me tell you what, man. I had a former governor that I supported that I'm embarrassed by, who ran into me and referred to the city as those people. That's a deal breaker for me.
Very
right?
much so. Because what's different? What's it? You know, and I'm just gonna challenge his statement. What is different from our kids in Baltimore City versus those in Harford and Howard County?
Well, I'm maybe
opportunities in education. And so there is no different from our young people. It's no different from our people here in Baltimore City versus these other jurisdictions. It is opportunity, and it's making sure that they have the necessary resources in order to have a better quality of life. We know, we really know the root causes of these issues. And we here in the city, we are addressing it head on instead of name calling.
Well, when the murders were 16, 17, 18, when the numbers are getting out of control, and the whole Fox thing and Trump's pissing on the city the first time. The notion that, because I would say to these people, Jane Miller and I would get into this all the time, because Jane would say, I shut it down.
Yeah,
if you give me that, I'm not going to Baltimore because X shut. Like, that's not the solution.
Yes,
the solution for you in Harford County, Carroll County, is not, I ain't never going to the city. No, the solution should be, hey, people are getting murdered down there. Like, they need to fix that.
Yeah.
What can we do? That's where I came. That's where Baltimore Positive.
Yes.
Okay, so what needs to be done? And I heard these ideas, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm not Archie Bunker and just, you know, F them all. But I'm also like, we're going to sit down and talk to people. You know, like, I'm like, that.
Yeah.
I've seen the gangs, and I haven't watched The Wire yet.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how's that going to work?
Yeah.
You know? And now we're 5-6 years in, and the more I hear progress tactically of sitting with people and saying, just like a parent would, say, here's the jail.
Yep.
Here's the, and not only here's the other path, get out the door.
Yeah.
Here's the other path, and here's every phone number, every person, all the things we need to do to keep you out of jail.
And keep you out of death. But also, not to be that extreme, to keep you healthy. There are certain spectrums that you get before you even get to jail, before you even pick up that gun. And that's what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to prevent folks from actually getting there. And so making sure they have the proper mental health, making sure they have the proper making sure we have the proper food, and that's what we need. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm. Well, Felicia Porter's here. We're doing Baltimore Positive.
Thank you.
Well, you know, he giving you love. I don't know what he's doing.
No, it's okay.
That's all right. They're taking out daycare. They're taking out medical.
You get it.
It's what we're talking about here.
Having
some oysters, man. So this is.
It's serious. It's serious. It's very serious.
That's why we're talking about it.
And then it's happening to rural artists.
Yeah.
Farmers. Everybody losing everything.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Donald Trump is taking everything. He's draining us.
And that's what we're trying to fight here in the city.
You're absolutely correct.
You're right.
He's draining us.
Yes.
Well, he's draining us.
But we here in the city, we're making a difference.
I agree. Yep. So back to our regularly scheduled. I'm glad I got his
points. I know.
Yes,
yeah, seriously.
You made great points.
Make great points.
So for me, with the violence reduction and the strategy, why is it working? I mean, that might have been the first question I should ask you an hour ago. It's like, because that's the thing that the county hears and feels is, why are the murder numbers at? Well, the carjacking or the nonviolence or the this or that. Just that part alone that you can come to the city and be safe.
Yeah.
That's a message.
It is a message.
It's a message that I've always given living here because I've never had a problem here. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing that I often remind people. I don't want to invalidate what people are feeling because that's what we don't want to do. What we want to do is make sure that we address the root causes of the issues that we're seeing. So when people are talking about violence, they're talking about behavioral health and mental health issues. They're talking about lack of coping. They may be even talking about lack of housing and crimes of survival. Those are the issues of community that we're seeing here in Baltimore City. And oftentimes when people talk about this whole violence that's happening in the city, they are talking about the issues that are leading up and surrounding individuals in order for them to maybe want to choose a life of crime.
Well, when I heard about this 5, 6, 7 years ago, I don't say I was skeptical.
Yeah.
I was interested. Yeah. Interested enough to build content around it and talk about it and say, why did it work there?
Yeah.
Why did it work here?
Yeah.
You embraced it. The mayor embraced it.
Yep.
And I think the numbers reflect that.
That is correct.
I mean, I want to give him credit for it, give you credit for
Thank
it because
you so much.
It's important.
Thank you so much.
They still cause
I'm sorry, sir.
Hold on. Gets them to steal the cars so they can steal the cars to move their drugs and move things and move it around.
I feel like
why would you want to steal a car around Baltimore?
That's correct. But 1 second, let us finish this interview and then I can come back.
See, he just said, why would you want to steal a car if you get locked up?
Exactly.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Right, but exactly.
We'll do it in 1 second.
That's it, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Fadley's customer.
I know.
You know what? Hold on. I gotta give him a lottery ticket. Hey, my man, there you go, man. Free lottery ticket for the Maryland Lottery. There you go, man. Good luck. All right.
Thank you so much.
You got it, brother.
Thank you.
Keep
no,
the
you
faith.
Are. Thank
Keep
you.
The faith. That was great.
It was great. But see, here's the thing. I wanted to...
People should be stirred up
they're
told the military to shoot people for protesting.
But even... Right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing that we have to... Here's the thing that we have to consider. These are everyday people, and they have to realize that we as local legislators are fighting on their behalf. Like, what he's talking about are federal-level issues that we here in the city...
He started to say, get that on the radio! Trump's training
That's
us.
What I'm saying.
And I say that every day.
These are the importance of local legislators, and these are the importance of the local impact of what's happening at the federal level. Everything that he just said is happening in Baltimore City, and we are fighting it.
Felicia Porter's here. Yes. She is our councilwoman from 10. That's down south. If you're in Cherry Hill, if you're down in Port Covington, that would be
and Brooklyn and Curtis Bay and Lakeland, Mount Wine. We have so many communities.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna go up the northern part. We have Ridgely's Delight all the way down to Pigtown. Then we got Morrow Park. We got Lakeland. We got Mount Winans. We got Westport. We got Cherry Hill. We got Brooklyn. We got Curtis Bay. We got St. Paul's. So we have. Oh, we also have Federal Hill South. They're one of my new districts. I mean, they're one of my new precincts. And
hold on, is Montgomery Park in your district?
It is.
All right, just where I get my lottery ticket. So I was in your district. Rofo, right across the street.
Rofo, yes.
Carroll Park. Pigtown?
Pigtown, yeah.
Pigtown's in your district? All
right. Yeah.
Hollins? No. Hollins?
No. No. So Hollins is in 9.
No, okay. It's Bullock?
Bullock.
All right.
There you go.
Hey, see?
You're getting it. Okay.
I'm Baltimore positive.
I love it.
Answer everything about Baltimore, but I know.
I'm surprised and I'm very grateful that you knew Hollins is represented
Listen,
by Bullock.
If you stick around long enough, I'll have bad answers for you. Felicia Porter, I got to buy her a crab cake. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We were wildly interrupted, but it was kind of fun.
But he underscored the local issues.
No, he was over here eating oysters.
Oh!
He was eating oysters. I mean, he was a customer. He was in here eating. And he just heard us talking.
Yeah.
And he just started screaming about Trump.
But look, that's what we need. That's what I love.
I love it. It's fine. I'm blushing. It's great. You know, if I didn't want to be bothered, I'd go do this in the studio.
Say it again.
But how do we get the crab cakes?
Yeah, but there you go. I can't wait to eat mine.
You know, John Martin and I got into it today because I call the scented tickets sniffers. He doesn't like that. They're scented tickets. But he said to me there's going to be a holiday scented ticket. That's out now. Because we didn't have one last year. Is that bothering? So I like it. They put them in my bag, and I asked him if he could make them smell like Old Bay or eggnog or something like that. But when you come into Lexington Market, you smell fried chicken. You smell fried.
You smell cakes and pies.
Yeah, it just smells like a market.
It does, and I love it.
And I'm hungry, so I'm going to take a break. My thanks to you.
Thank you. I love having you so much.
Felicia Porter here. She's one of the good ones in 10. We also, I did a whole segment that disappeared on me from the Maryland Health Connection. I had Andy Ratner here, and I had Jenny Garrison here. I feel like a chump because my equipment sort of, the battery died on me. So I just want to, like, give them some love and say, why do people need health insurance?
Oh, my gosh. People need health insurance because people have to go to the doctors. That's the key risk of it. You know, we want people to be healthy, and so you can't be healthy if you haven't gone to the doctor.
Well, that's really at the heart of this government shutdown.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, I really picked a hell of a day to have Andy over here in regard to what happens when 100,000 people in a state lose
correct.
Their health insurance.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. And so that is at stake here with this government shutdown.
Yeah, I don't know if Barack Obama liked that they called it Obamacare or, like, it was his branding or whatever. Maybe it got him elected again the second time. I hope so.
It is the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really what it is. But it got branded as this awful thing.
Yes.
And it's actually this incredibly magnanimous.
Yes.
It's what America's about.
That's
taking
correct.
Care of people.
That's correct.
Not pissing on people.
That's
you
correct.
You know, not taking things away from people and
that's
vilifying
correct.
People.
That's correct.
It's about love. It's not about hate.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's
it's
what it is.
It's about peace. It's not about war.
And here's the thing, that health care is not just a privilege, it's a right. So that was one thing that the Affordable Care Act did. It made sure to have the foundation that health care is a right, not just a privilege for a mere few.
I got to have you on more often. All right, I got to go get a crab cake. I'm hungry. Matt Gallagher's going to come by. They're going to feed me later here at Fadley's. Their award-winning, they won an award for a sandwich was a rockfish.
Yes, catfish. I thought it was
catfish.
Yes,
my bad.
Catfish.
Catfish with slaw and like a hot honey.
Yes, that sounds so good.
Hot honey's a little hot for me. My palate, but they got beer here.
They got beer.
All right, we're Fadley's. It's Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. My thanks to Felicia Porter for coming by.
Of course.
And my real thanks to the Maryland Health Connection that I feel like I owe. I'm going to get back because I got to learn so much, and it's all in the cosmos, so I'm going to have them back on. I'm back at Fadley's with Matt Gallagher. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.